The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Luke. Glory to you, Lord Christ. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night, haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled boats with so much that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at his knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Let us pray. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts here today be pleasing in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. In your blessed name, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to be seated. Before I get to the text, I just want to say I like that bell choir today. That was awesome. And was that exactly how you intended it?
Basically,
good. All right. You were supposed to say, I don't know, because here's where I'm going. I printed out my outline, and it's still on the printer. So Lord knows how this is going to go. Could you hit a C for me so I can? No, I'm kidding. No, that's okay, brother. We're going to do it by memory. Sometimes God does this on purpose. Beautiful. I'll chant it. Is that what you said? Beautiful Old Testament scripture we hear today from the prophet Isaiah. And it's interesting if you've noticed how it begins. Isaiah doesn't give us the year or the date like we would do in our writings today. You know, we might say, hey, that was that day that the kids got together and did the bell choir, and Padre got up there and had no clue what he was preaching about, and that was the fifth Sunday in Epiphany on February the 10th, 2019. That's the way we keep dates, but they keep it a little different back in those days, and it's always significant what it is that they're making the reference to so that we know the period of time they're in. And when Mr. John read that to us, what was the very first verse we heard you read from Isaiah today, brother? In the year King Uzziah died, right? So that's important. It's not just noting that, hey, the king's dead. That's the year we're talking about. There's a reason why the prophet used that particular language to identify that year with King Uzziah. Do we know why King Uzziah died, or what he died of? Anybody remember this from Bible? It's not one of those things. I mean, if you go on Jeopardy, you probably should know this, but it's not one of those things the average Bible reader is going to know. So King Uzziah died because he had leprosy. The reason he got leprosy is the really important part of this story, though. The reason King Uzziah got leprosy is because he was afflicted with it by God. And what he had done was He's king, right? He's got a very specific role to play for God's holy people, to be a king, to be a leader. Today, we're going to have a church council meeting, and we're going to have representatives of our church get together, and they're going to elect new officers for the year 2019, and one of those officers is going to be the president. And who would say that the president of a church council has a very unique calling on his life, very or her life, very unique gifts that they're going to be bringing to the table to lead this church forward? You would agree with that, right? Would you expect that the president would also then perhaps take on the responsibility at church of, I was about to say mopping the floors, but we can't do that because that analogy doesn't hold up because Mr. Mel, our president, mops the floors all the time. But you wouldn't expect the president to necessarily be given the responsibility or have the gift or talent or time to also do jobs of pastoring, to go to minister at the time of death to a family or to conduct a funeral or to preside over Holy Eucharist or those things, right? These are different jobs, different things that God has assigned each person within the temple to do. And it's no different today in the body of Christ. We all are called to do different things. We have different talents and gifts that we bring to the picture. King Uzziah went into the temple as a king, not as a priest, mistake number one, and he attempted to incense the altar, mistake number two. He was doing something that God had not called him to do. In other words, he's traveling in the wrong lane. And a lot of times what you see, if you think about this with coworkers and such that you run into problems with, sometimes the people you're running into problems with, you're running into problems because they're trying to tell you how to do your job. They're not so hot at doing their job, right? And so Uzziah actually was a pretty good king at first, but he fell into the trap of being proud. He fell into the sin of pride. And so he attempted to do something that was not his to do. And despite the pleas of the kings, and we can read about the priest, we can read about this in 2 Corinthians, he went ahead and attempted to do it anyway, and what happened was he immediately broke out into leprosy. I think there's an important lesson for us in that. Have we ever had a King Uzziah moment? Is it ever easy for us to go up and tell the choir, you know, that would have sounded better if ... but you don't have any inclination to show up on Wednesday and sing in the choir and practice with them. See, that's a King Uzziah moment. Or to come up to the pastor and say, you know, that message you gave, had you said X, Y, Z, that would have made it even better. Well, then you go to seminary and you go through the process of becoming pastor. I'm sure they'll hire you. It pays tremendous. My point is we each have our own callings, our own talents, our own gifts, and we're to stick into those and we're to do them to the best of our ability. And if you think about whether it's church-related or not, you've probably all had a King Uzziah moment in your life where you're out of your lane. But it was because of that King Uzziah moment that Isaiah has an Isaiah moment. What happened with Isaiah in this story? Isaiah has a pretty good awakening or epiphany or a coming to God kind of moment. And what's interesting about this is Isaiah has been working in the temple, right? Yet he hasn't seen God until now. And that might be telling you a little something about what's going on in the temple. Maybe that's one of the reasons Uzziah was so frustrated that he wanted to go do the priest's job because the priests weren't doing their job. A lot of that going around in Christianity today. But Isaiah has this moment, and he says, he tells us what he sees. He sees the Lord lifted high and exalted, seated on a throne. The train of his robe filled the temple. Now, we don't think of trains of robes of kings today. For us in American society, it's probably the easiest way to think about that is think about a bride, right? Brides have long dresses and they enter the church and the dress has a train or maybe a Mardi Gras ball, right? the king of, or God Almighty's robe, the Lord seated on high, it fills the temple. And the temple's bigger than our little sanctuary here. Think about how big that is. What's Isaiah seeing and what's he telling us? Something important. This is huge. This is God Almighty. And he has an awakening, doesn't he? Because he sees these seraphim with six wings, two wings that cover their face, two wings that cover their feet, two wings that for which they're flying. They're covering their face. Why are they covering their face? They cannot bear to look upon the Lord. That's how glorious and holy God is in his holy temple. They have to avert their eyes. We see this with Moses too, right? Moses has to look away. He can't look into the face of God. Why? Well, number one, you're not holy enough. Number two, the good news is, fast forward to the New Testament, you can get there through Jesus Christ. But we don't have that yet. We're still in the Old Testament. So here they are, and what are they doing? They're these angels, these seraphim, those are the singing angels. They're singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." It's the same, actually, song that we chant or sing or pray together in the Holy Eucharist, isn't it? Yes. And at the sound of the voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. There's the incense. Have you ever had an Isaiah moment? If you had a Uzziah moment, and you probably have, most of us have, have you ever had an Isaiah moment where you realize just how holy and big God is, and just how holy and reverent you're called to be in the presence of God when you come into his holy temple? For our purposes today in 2019, the sanctuary of our Lord. Have you ever had a moment where you've stepped back and said, yeah, I probably shouldn't have been doing that in church or saying that in church or disturbing somebody in church while they were trying to pray? I would just cause you to sort of think about that for a little bit. You may or may not have, but if it's something that is particular to you, the good news is that you can be cleansed of that, because clearly that was what happened to Isaiah. He knew he was unworthy to be in God's holy temple. And so what happens? An angel comes with a hot piece of coal and places it on his tongue. What does it symbolize? He's purifying him, right? So that those sins of the past, whether he spoke them, whether he thought them, whether he did them, those are being purified by God because he's humbled himself before the Lord. So if we've had that Isaiah moment, we need to have the second half of that Isaiah moment. Humble ourselves before the Lord in his temple and allow him to purify us. Allow him to make us whole, to wash away our sins. And then God says something. Who am I going to send? Who am I going to send? Because you know what? My priesthood ain't doing it. The king ain't doing it. They're not living up to their jobs. And Isaiah says, here I am. Here I am. Send me. Isaiah moment. Are any of you being called to an Isaiah moment in your life? It could be different for each and every one of you, but my guess is, if you're honest with yourself, God is working on you right now about something that you need to be doing for the kingdom of God. And it very well may be through Good Shepherd Church. It may be through something else outside of church, but you better be obedient. That's the lesson here. You best be obedient. We can contrast that to what we saw in the gospel today, right? They're out fishing. They're tired. They haven't caught anything. Peter says to the Lord Jesus, really? You want me to cast it one more time just because you said so? Just because you said so I'm supposed to do this? Come on, Lord, we're tired. And so he does. And they catch so much fish. They get so blessed that the boat is sinking. They've got so much blessing. They have to call other boats over to help take some of that blessing off their hand. So you better believe it. When God's calling you to do something, you better be asking, all right, how do you want me to do that again? And you better be listening, because the blessing is about to come. Have you ever had a Peter moment? You ever had one of those moments where you're going, I'm tired. I don't want to do that, God. But you do it anyway, and you see the reward that the Lord has in store for you. My guess is you probably have had something like that. Here's where I want to wrap up, folks. We're going to have a council meeting after church today. We're going to have a brand new 2019 council that you elected back in January. That council is going to do their jobs. They have very important jobs to do. And part of that is leading us. I have a very important job to do. Part of that is leading you as well in a different sort of context. One is a spiritual leadership. One is to say it's not that it's not a spiritual calling, but it's that it's a very organizational type of leadership. Both of these have important roles. I can't expect the council to be stepping in on my toes and getting in the way of what I'm doing because God's going to strike them with leprosy, right? That's the point of that Old Testament story, though. But by the same token, I need to be able to expect that they're going to be doing their jobs as leaders, too. And if they're doing their jobs as leaders and they're leading you, the body of Christ, at Good Shepherd, which means you need to be doing your jobs as well. And each of us has a different calling. And I need you to be prayerful about what that means. What is it that the Lord's calling you to do? I don't know, and I'm not going to embarrass anybody and ask who read the February newsletter, but I would encourage you to read it if you haven't read it already. I would encourage you to read my column because these are themes that come up in that column about what it is at the church that we need to be doing. What it is that we need to be doing as the body of Christ. If we're going to be true to God's holy word, and I will remind you, it was not very long ago, it was just a little over a year ago, that this church gathered in huge numbers, probably one of the best Sundays we've had in 5 years. People showed up out of the woodworks to take a vote because they were unhappy with the denomination they were affiliated with. And some of those people we haven't seen since. And some of those people come around once in a while. Folks, if something like that excites you, and it should because you did the right move, then we need to carry this thing forward. We need to keep moving toward, all right, if we stepped away from what it is that God was telling us not to be a part of, we need to show up and do our work. We need to come to worship. We need to give. We need to support this church that's Good Shepherd. I encourage you to read the February column again. I've broken it down into sorts of things about what it means to be healthy. And all of us know for human health, we need good nutrition. We need exercise. We need all these things. All of that breaks down symbolically into the church as well with healthy members. So I want to encourage you to go ahead and read that. Think about it. Pray on it. See what it is that God is speaking to you about. And see if you can understand just how big God really is and how much of a plan, part of that plan you actually are with that big God. So think about your Uzziah moments. Think about your Isaiah moments. Think about your Peter moments. And think about your moments that God is calling you toward at Good Shepherd Church. St. Paul today in that epistle said to the church at Corinth, these are the things I taught you. This is what I told you the gospel is. And if you hold fast to it, then you're faithful to the word of God. If you don't, you're not being faithful to the word of God. One of the reasons, again, a little over a year ago, we had that meeting and stepped away was because we had decided that the organization we were affiliated was not being faithful to the word of God. They were calling the gospel all sorts of things. It involved protest, it involved politics, it involved everything under the sun except for what St. Paul said the gospel was in our reading today. The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ who was born of a virgin. The good news of Jesus Christ who walked this earth like one of us. The good news of Jesus Christ who suffered death on a cross for us, the propitiation for our sins. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, after he was buried, he rose again. That's the gospel. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the gospel we are called to live out here at Good Shepherd. And that's the gospel that we need to begin reaching our community with. And I pray that you are prayerful about what your part of that is to be. And I pray that you receive it in the blessed name of our Holy Trinity, in the name of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Let all God's children say, Amen.